Praise God. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I guess it's this afternoon, and I realize that I am the only thing that stands between you and lunch. Hallelujah. And I promise you, I will not preach long, but I do have a message that I feel that God has given me for this service today. Let's raise our hands one more time and ask Him to have His will. We love you, Jesus. We ask you right now, God, that you would reach out and that you would bless us, Lord. Help us to do your perfect will right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. As you're looking in the Word of God, I would like to express my sincere thanks to those that have invited us to preach the Spanish camp meeting que va a empezar esta noche. Y ustedes que hablan español, vamos a tener un bombazo pentecostal en el nombre del Señor Jesucristo. ¿Cuánto dicen gloria a Dios? Gloria a Dios. Hay varios que hablan español. Y vamos a tener un bombazo esta noche, mañana también el día sábado, y que el Señor les bendiga ricamente en el nombre del Señor Jesucristo. How many can say amen? Amen. Those of you that do not speak Spanish, I just said you were going to give us $20,000. And you said amen. No, I'm teasing. I didn't say that. Hallelujah. But I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. I would like to thank everyone for the fine hospitality. We have been treated so kindly. And I would like to say to Brother Elias Limones and to those, Brother Mullings, Brother Price, it's such an honor to be with them. May God richly bless each and every one of you. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. And if you would give me just a few moments of your time, I do want to preach for just a few moments on a message that I feel that God has given me for today. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It's good to have Brother Daniel Scott with us. I appreciate Brother Scott so very much. He is a man that I honor so very much, a man that has been involved in missions many, many years, and it's good to be with him and also my fellow missionaries. I really feel like that people like Brother Allard should be up here and I shouldn't be here, and especially after following somebody like Brother Terry, I appreciate these great men of God, and I want to give my pledge that I'm going to keep preaching the doctrine. Hallelujah. I was just thinking, hallelujah, he was my age 40 years ago, hallelujah. And I think I'm getting a little old sometimes. I feel young right now, hallelujah. And I am just so very honored to be here and to be able to preach. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, and the Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." But I'd like for you to notice in the scripture that we find out that the Bible says, "For God which worketh in you." Everybody say, "Worketh in you." To will and to do. I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on this thought of this afternoon, the desire and the deeds. The desire and the deeds. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you right now for the opportunity to preach your word. I ask you for the anointing of your spirit. Allow me to feel the same anointing that I felt in the time of prayer and preparation, God. I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would pour out your spirit upon us. And we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It really, to me, sometimes is amazing how hard it is for somebody to do the will of God. I am not saying that I have always done the will of God, but I will be honest with you. I do my very best to try and follow what I feel like God wants me to do in my life. And sometimes it seems like that when it comes to doing the will of God, that we sometimes have to kind of twist people's arms. And we kind of have to have things that take place in our lives to make us do the will of God. And this morning, I want to talk about that just a little bit. And relating about that, yesterday in California, I saw probably two things I've never seen before. I'm not that old, but yet I'm not young anymore. And I've seen a lot of things. But really, I would say that the things that I saw yesterday, probably I do not feel were an accident. I was coming from Stockton, and as I was driving down on Highway 41 and then to 46, it was my first time to see a brush fire. And I had never seen one just like that before, living in the Midwest and then in Mississippi. You don't see brush fires like that. And I saw the flames. I was sitting beside a tanker, and as I saw the flames beginning to come, I have never in all of my life seen fire move so fast in all my life. It was so high and it was moving so fast. And as I was sitting there watching the fire, I began to meditate on the great revival that God has given the church in these days. Hallelujah. I said I began to meditate on the fire of the Holy Ghost that's burning in these days. I'm glad to be part of a revival church. I'm glad to be part of a church that believes that it is God's will to fill somebody with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and to see somebody saved. Can somebody say amen? And I want you to know, saints of God, it's not just happening overseas. There is a revival that is taking place right here in the United States of America. Just a few days ago in Oakland in the Hispanic Conference, on a Sunday afternoon, we saw over 100 people that were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is revival in California. I said there's revival in California. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what you believe the church is, but the Bible says the church is the bride of Christ. And if the church is the bride of Christ, I remember 26 years ago when I married my wife, I saw her walk down the aisle. She was my bride. She was young and she still is. Hallelujah. It's just that our shapes have changed a little bit. We have some curves where we never used to have them before. Hallelujah. And I'd like to say that I remember that and how excited I was. I'm glad to be part of a church that is having revival. Can you say praise the Lord? I believe that it is God's will that our churches grow. I believe that it is God's will that we baptize somebody every day in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't believe to have revival that you have to change the message. I believe we can preach the message the way we've always preached it. And I believe that God will give revival. Can somebody raise your hand and shout hallelujah? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Another thing that I saw yesterday was probably, I've lived in a war in El Salvador. I've lived there some 19 years. 80,000 people were killed in the war there. However, yesterday I saw something that really has really shaken me. On our way leaving Stockton, I was with Brother John Shivers. He received a call and we had to go by the hospital. As we went by the hospital, I have to be honest with you, I have never seen what I saw as I saw a man die in my presence in the hospital right there. But as I was looking at it, I would like to say that I don't believe that it was an accident what I saw. And I will probably explain a little bit more about it in just a bit, because it has shaken me so much in the way that that man died. But what came to my mind is sometimes we are it's so difficult for some of us to do the will of God. I do not know why sometimes we are not willing to do what God has called us to do. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad to be a child of God. Living in holiness is not a burden for me, but it's a privilege to be able to live for Jesus. Because you see, I was not raised in this and I didn't have a family to teach me, but I thank God for men like Brother Terry that were willing to preach the Word of God and talk about living in holiness. I believe that I'm in a church this morning that we still believe in holiness. Can California say amen? Hallelujah. But you see, I don't understand how that some people, it is so hard for people to do the will of God. I have lived in a war where I have been in the funeral home with Brother and Sister Mean from Canada, and she had to put perfume on her nose because the smell of dead bodies was so bad. I've stood in line in the cemeteries waiting as one hole was opened after another like a conveyor belt to bury the people there. I have been and I have preached so many funerals to where we literally got in our church to where we talked about starting the funeral ministry where we would just preach one right after another, because being in the cemetery, the people would beg us to please pray for their loved ones, and we have won so many people by that. But I have never seen, I remember the time that a young man 17 was shot, and when he finally did pass away, I had to go into the morgue, and when I went in there, the funeral home people came and the mother said, "I'm not embalming the body," and in our culture they feel that that is a waste of money to do that. And so the funeral home people were trying to put the body in the casket and they began to throw up. Excuse me. And I had to go in and with the mother, I put the body in the casket and we took him out and we took him to the church and then we buried him. But you see, I've faced all of that. But in all of my life, I have never seen what I saw yesterday. I have never seen a man die the way the man died yesterday. But what I've come to tell you today is that God has sent me here to tell somebody. God is
trying to wake somebody up. God has a will for your life. There is somebody sitting here this morning and God has called you to preach and you are not willing to do it. And I come right now on my knees and I beg you, would you please give in to the will of God and do what God has called you to do? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're living in a world that needs to know Jesus. I said we're living in a world that needs to know Jesus. Last year my two children, older children, were married. And Brother Allard, it's not been easy to stay on the mission field. Because when your kids get married and we don't have any grandkids yet. And I can't imagine what that's going to be like. But you know what? There's something that I hear crying in my ears worse than that. And it's the cry of people like the one that died yesterday, whose lives have been ruined and they need to know Jesus. And I ask you this afternoon, California, can we hear the cries of those that need to know Jesus? I can't sit back and cross my arms. I cannot be satisfied with just the status quo, but I've got to give Him the very best I've got. I've got to give my best for Him so that somebody can know Jesus. Let's raise our hands and talk to Him right now. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I make no apology. Hallelujah. I only have one thing on my mind, and that's winning this world for Jesus. That's seeing somebody filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and somebody baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. But you see, we have to be willing to do what God has called us to do. And sometimes to bow our will to the will of God is more than just bowing our knee at an altar of prayer. I have always preached in my church, and I give God the honor and the praise that God allows me to pastor a fairly large church of over 1,000 members in San Salvador. And I give God the honor for that. And I've always preached that things that come to our lives are not necessarily God's punishment. However, I do believe that God allows or puts certain things in our lives that will help us to do His good pleasure. I said that will allow us to do His good pleasure. How many of you have loved ones that do not know the Lord? How many of you would like to see them saved? Hallelujah. When we begin to pray for people like that, and we ask God to save them, this is the way I pray. God, do whatever you've got to do to bring them to your to this altar. Do whatever you've got to do to bring them to their knees so that they can serve you. But sometimes when the heat gets turned up and maybe things get a little uncomfortable, we want to say, hey, hold on, God. I just want to wait just a minute because I don't know, but you better let God turn the heat up now. It's better to have the heat turned up now than to be thrown into the lake of fire. And may God help us to reach our world. Can somebody say amen? I said, can somebody say amen? It's great to be in camp meeting, but how many Bible studies have you taught this year? It's great to be in camp meeting, but how many people have you brought to church this year and seen baptized in the name of the Lord? That's what it's all about, Brother Kelly. I said, that's what it's all about. This is the purpose of the church. Let's raise our hands and talk to Him right now. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the scripture that we have read this afternoon, the Bible, we find three phrases. We find, first of all, the phrase, worketh in you. Everybody say, worketh in you. That means to produce. That means to make something in you. The second phrase we find is the phrase to will. There is our desire to have the want to do it. And then the third phrase is to do. That is our deeds. The three phrases, worketh in you, produces or makes. The will is the second phrase, to will. That is our desire or the want to. Then the third phrase is to do, to have the deeds or the actions. How does God work with the human will so that it is aligned with His will? Number two, can God force a person to do His will when it is against their will? Number three, does God's sovereignty include man's will? When God wants to do something, does it include our will, or is our will set to one side? Number four, when God touches my will this affect my actions? Number five, when God touches or affects my will, do I willingly do what He wants, no matter how I feel? And then the last question, how can God change my desire or will without violating the law law that he has made to not violate my libre albedrío in Spanish, or it means my free will. How can that happen? And I've come this morning to tell you, this afternoon, excuse me, that I want to answer these questions, and I want us to look at it, because there's somebody here sitting in this service right now that you have not been willing to do the will of God. There are churches that need to be started. There are people that need to give their heart to God in a new way. We heard the testimony of our sister last night, and about how she came to camp meeting last year and it changed her life. I pray this afternoon that God would change the life of someone here right now. There are churches that need to be started. There are people that need to be won. And you are the one that can do it if you will be willing to do it. If you will be willing to do it. Hallelujah. I want us to raise our hands right now and talk to the Lord. I'm not going to preach long, but I want God to have His way right now. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God, I love you, Jesus. That's it for just one moment longer. Let's talk to the Lord. Please, let's talk to the Lord right now. We love you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 We look into the Word of God in the book of Genesis, and we see the story of Joseph. Joseph was the next to the last son. He was the favorite of his father. We know the story very well of what happened. Joseph was sold. He was placed in the cistern. He was placed in the well, and he was then sold. We know the story of the house of Potiphar and about how that God took and God began to mold him. We see him in the jail, the baker and the butler and the brothers that came to Egypt, and how happy we are to see the happy ending of his story. But sometimes what we ignore is the character of Joseph and how God had to form his character. I'm going to be honest with you. I have not lived a long life. I'll be 46 in a few days, and I want you to know that in the time that I have preached, some 25, almost 30 years, I give God the praise for what He has done. And when God begins to form our lives, it's not easy, because we have to go through troubles. But sometimes we go through trouble because we are not willing to bend our will to the will of God. I know I'm preaching to somebody here this morning, and you are facing things in your life, and it is not God's fault. It is not the devil's fault. It is your own fault for not doing the will of God. I said it is your own fault for not doing the will of God. I haven't come to get on to you. I have not come to regañarle. Hallelujah. I've not come to reprove you necessarily. But I've come to just simply say, may God wake us up today. May we bend our will. And as we bow our knee to God, may we also bow our will to Him and say, God, help us this afternoon to do your will. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's talk to Him one moment right now. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. But we sometimes ignore His attitude. The Bible says that there was something very special that was given to Joseph. It was a sign of his father's love for him. It was a coat of many colors. It was a beautiful coat. And when he began to walk around with the coat of many colors, he was proud of it. Have you ever been proud of anything? Hallelujah. Have you ever been proud of something God's done for you? Well, that's the way he began to walk around. And when he walked around his brothers, I would imagine it was kind of like this. You know who owns the coat, do you? You know, I'm the owner of this coat. I am the one that God has blessed. There were times that he might go to lunch with them, and he was always flashing the coat in their eyes so that they would be sure to know that he was the one special one. You know, sometimes there are some people that face some things, and it's because of the way they flash what God has done for them. Hallelujah. May God help us to realize, hallelujah, that we are the little one and He is the great one. We've got to realize that what we have is because of what He has done. I sometimes struggle and I pray to my God. I really, Brother Scott, I really do try and do this. I try to keep checks on myself when I talk about what God has done in El Salvador and Honduras and the great blessing that He has given. But I want you to know, hallelujah, it's not because of Bruce Howell. I thank God for men like Brother Windross, who paid the price, that was a pioneer missionary there and who is a great pioneer missionary. And I give honor to him for what he has done. I just thank God. He was there some 6.5 years. God has allowed me to be there some 18 or 19 years. And the revival has continued. Not glory to Windross, not glory to Bruce Howell, but glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When you begin to shout and feel the power of God, hallelujah, we ought to shout in what God has done, not what in what we have done. The honor belongs to Jesus. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've not come here this morning for you to look at Bruce Howell, but I've come to tell you there's one greater than I that is here, and His name is Jesus, and He's able to touch you. Can you say praise the Lord? And so Joseph was a little bit proud. Look at the dreams he had. You know, some people do not use wisdom. He had the dream about the sheaves. And he said, hey, fellas, I had a great dream last night. Now, how in the world do you think they were going to feel about that dream? About the sheaves. Those of you that don't remember the dream, all the other 11 sheaves were bowing down to him, and he was the sheaf that was standing up, and they were giving him praise and honor. And he said, fellas, isn't that great? Well, how do you think they felt? They didn't feel very good. But you see, God had to work on his will. I said, God had to work on his will. And if that wasn't enough, then he had the dream of the stars and then of the moon and the sun. And that was not just the brothers. That was his own father, and said that his own father would bow down before him. He did not use wisdom. Folks, I want you to know this morning, this afternoon, that God deserves the honor and the praise for what he has done. I give him praise and I give him honor for everything that he's done. But we don't need to be proud in what we are. You can say amen if you want to or not, but it's true. Hallelujah. We need to be thankful for what God has done. I'm nothing but a sinner saved by the grace of God. I've just been lifted out of the mucky mire. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, I want to reach somebody this morning. And I want to stop right now and say, if there's somebody that needs Jesus here this afternoon, hallelujah, God is here right now to touch you and to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All the sheaves bowing down. The sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down. Be careful when God begins to use you. We cannot get the big head. Brother Scott, I say this in front of everybody. If I ever get the big head, would you please sit me down and say, son, sit down and listen to me. The honor and the glory goes to Jesus. I thank God for churches of 1,000 and 2,000 and 3,000. And I thank God for churches of 30. Hallelujah. We've got to win our world for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But you see, the beautiful tunic. But you see, God had to change that tunic into this one right here. The one that was stained with blood. The one where he had to be thrown into the well. He had to go to Potiphar's house and run out with his clothes in her hand when she falsely accused him. He had to be left in the jail as God left him there, and the baker and the butler forgot about him. And every time his father saw the bloody tunic, he thought about his son and he cried about his son. But you see, in order to have his will changed, it took the bloody tunic and God to work in his life. Hallelujah. When I was in the beautiful room this morning, and I want to thank this district for the great hospitality. And as I was there, I began to feel the Holy Ghost. I am preaching to somebody here right now that you have experienced the beautiful tunic of the blessings of God. But there's somebody right now that you are in the midst of a situation like this one right here. And you don't understand why, but God has allowed me to come this morning to tell you that God is trying to wake you up, that God wants you to wake up to do His will. But I ask you, are you willing to do what God has called you to do? Are you willing to do what God has called you to do? Hallelujah. The tunic, beautiful. But before he learned his lesson, it turned into the bloody tunic. God does touch the will or desire, and you do get in line if you will allow Him to do it. I said, if you will allow Him to do it. The Bible tells us the story of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3. God told him to do something that he didn't want to do. Hallelujah. And here today, God is talking to someone who is not willing to do what God has told you to do. God spoke to me several days ago about this message. And I know, hallelujah, that it is God's perfect will that I preach this. The boat to Nineveh was prepared. It was a beautiful boat. It was a beautiful boat. And folks, I've been in the back blowing this thing up all morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful boat. And I had something else in mind. I thought you all everything in California, but you didn't have a boat I wanted, but this will have to do. Isn't it pretty? Some of you older folks don't like it, but when I get finished with this, I'll probably give it to somebody. Hallelujah. And I see some young fellows on the front row, and they are ready right now. A beautiful boat was prepared to do the will of God, to go to Nineveh. There was first class. Now, I don't know where first class is in this boat, but it's here somewhere. Hallelujah. And it was all ready to go to Nineveh and do the will of God. But you see, Jonah said, I've got a better idea. I've got a better idea. Have you heard anybody these days that's saying they've got a better idea? Hallelujah. You know that baptism in Jesus' name? We need to just change that. I've got a better... Folks, I want you to know God's prepared the message. Hallelujah. God's prepared the boat, and I think it's better just to stay in the boat than to bail out. And so Jonah was excited. Hallelujah. He said, I've got a better idea. I think that I just want to go and really do just kind of what I want to do. And so the Bible says that Jonah got on the boat. He probably was on the boat drinking lemonade. Now, folks, I know you have good lemonade here, but in El Salvador and Honduras, we have very, very good lemonade. It's from the fresh squeezed lemons. We don't have a lot of that canned stuff with all that junk in it. We have the good stuff. He probably was on the boat with his feet propped up. He was sipping lemonade, and he was so happy. Hallelujah. And everything seemed to be going just fine. There's somebody here this morning. Your feet are propped up, and everything seems to be going fine. But God has sent me here to remind you, remember what God has told you to do. I said, remember what God has called you to do. So he had his feet propped up, and he was ready, and he said, I'm going to go to Tarsus. That's fine, everything's fine, and I'm just going to do what I want to do. And so he got in the boat, and he began to make his way. And as he began to make his way, hallelujah, I want you to know sometimes it's not easy to do the will of God. How many times have we fled from the will of God? Pray, tithe, fast, work, preach, but like Jonah, we've been rebellious. Weeks without prayer, months without fasting, financial infidelity with God, run from the will of God, gossiping and backbiting, resentful with the pastor or the leaders. Why? Because we were not willing to do the will of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Willing, not willing to do the will of God. Hallelujah. But you see the story of Jonah. Hallelujah. But Jonah really at first did not want to do God's will. But God took care of that. Hallelujah. God took care of that. I said God took care of that. Hallelujah. And God prepared a fish. Now I had something else in mind too, but I couldn't find it this morning either, Kmart. Hallelujah. God prepared a fish for him. Now, I don't know what it was like, but all of a sudden they went and they woke up Jonah. Padre Dios, hallelujah. He didn't do God's will, but God prepared a fish for him, and one day they threw him out and two flew. Hallelujah. That means the fish swallowed him, and he was inside the belly of the fish. Now, I don't know how many of y'all have ever been inside the belly of a fish. I don't know what they ate, but he had forgotten about the lemonade, and he was sitting in the belly of the fish. All of a sudden, a shrimp came flying by. All of a sudden, the tail of an eel came flying by. All of a sudden, there was some sticky, drainy, gooey stuff that fell on him. And there he was sitting in there. And all of a sudden, he began to feel, hey, you know what? Nineveh looks better every day. Nineveh looks better every day. The will of God looks better every day. I want you to know, hallelujah, it's great to be in the will of God. I said, it's great to be in the will of God. Hallelujah. Don't feel, sometimes we come home on deputation. I've only been home a little over a month, and people begin to feel sorry for you and say, oh, you poor missionary. Folks, don't feel sorry for me at all, please. I love the mission field. Hallelujah. To me, please forgive me. You can stone me if you want to, but it's a greater sacrifice being here than it is being there. Hallelujah. I said it's a greater sacrifice being here. Last week I was in Honduras in the Central American Seminar. Over 500 pastors and their wives. A Trinitarian church gave us their entire complex. I couldn't believe it. I thought for sure that when they found out who we were, they wouldn't give us the place, but they did anyway. And there on their premises, we preached baptism in Jesus' name. We saw about four of their employees filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost right there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want you to know how if there's revival, don't feel sorry for me. I love eating refried beans for breakfast. Hallelujah. And huevos a la ranchera. Hallelujah. I love eating iguana. If you've never tried lizard, it is great. Hallelujah. If you have never tried armadillo, it's just possum on the half shell. And it's great. Hallelujah. I want you to know there's nothing like it. Don't feel sorry for me. Can somebody say praise the Lord? We had a prayer group that was about the other night. My wife cooked for 82 people in the other missionary's house, and there was some prayer group there. We went out and dedicated a building for Sister Ruby Martin, who taught 50 years at JCM PBI, and we dedicated that building. Long preliminaries. We had everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry had to talk, and then when we got it all over, it was about 3 hours long, and I thought, I'm not going to let the devil defeat us. There's people that have come to receive the Holy Ghost. There was 200 to 300 people there. I said, we've dedicated the building. Now, let's do what Sister Ruby Martin would like. Let's see somebody filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know what happened? God filled 9 people the first time with the Holy Ghost. I wasn't satisfied because there was more. And you know what they were doing? They was there begging, oh God, please fill me, oh God. And I stopped them. I said, don't beg. If you've got sin in your life, repent. And then just begin to worship God. And you know what God did? I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God filled 28 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't feel sorry for me, folks. Hallelujah. I said, don't feel sorry for me. I'm glad to be a missionary. I'm glad to be able to preach the Word of God. I may not have a lot of things, but I've got a heritage in Jesus. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say praise the Lord? And so there he was. Now, folks, if you've got a weak stomach, put your fingers in your ears. There he was sitting. Drippy vomit hanging off of his elbows. There he was with a hunk of shrimp stuck on his ear. There he was with a half-digested eel's tail stuck on the back of his neck. There he was swimming around in vomit, and all of a sudden, God caused that fish to get a good case of needing Pepto-Bismol, and it went up to the beach, and all of a sudden, hallelujah, it went blah. And there he was on the beach. There he was, dripping off his elbows, stuck on his head, stuck on his back. He probably was wading around in it. And when he picked his feet up, it just kind of was like, you know what? And when he got out on the beach, I want you to know, he didn't say, he said, where's the ticket booth? He said, where's Nineveh? I'm ready to do the will of God. I'm ready to go and preach and do what God has told me to do. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm sorry, folks. God did not have to throw me on the floor and put me in a lock and twist my arm to get me to go to El Salvador. In 1977, when I went for the first time, I went to the Foreign Missions Board. They turned me down the first time. I didn't take no for an answer, and I've been a missionary now 20 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Allo, there isn't any better life, I don't think. I'm missing the kids, but I'll be all right. Hallelujah. I said I'll be all right because I want to do the will of God. But I am preaching to somebody here right now. I know it in the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't it have been a lot easier to just stuck with a pretty coat and giving God the glory? Wouldn't it have been a lot easier than to have it dipped in blood? And to have to go through everything Joseph went through. Wouldn't it have been a lot easier just to have gotten in the boat and sailed all over to Nineveh and done the will of God instead of having to be put in the belly of a whale? Hallelujah. 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 I have a problem. Everywhere I want to go, I want to be a missionary. Hallelujah. I was in Italy three months ago, preaching. We had 10 get the Holy Ghost. Now, that's not 110. Hallelujah. But in Italy, that's revival. Hallelujah. We had a priest get the Holy Ghost in one of our services. Hallelujah. Speaking in other tongues. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. I want to be a missionary to Italy. When I went to Ethiopia, I want to be a missionary to Ethiopia. Hallelujah. When I've been to Puerto Rico, I want to go there. Everywhere I go, I just want to be a missionary. Because you see, I just believe that there are people that need to know Jesus. I'm sorry, folks. They told me in Honduras we couldn't have revival. But I want you to know, just a few months ago in our national convention, we had 110 filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they said it couldn't happen. Hallelujah. We have the Colombian missionary son. I don't know why he didn't get the Holy Ghost in their services. But he brought him over to ours. And he got the Holy Ghost in our campaign. Praise be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I go to New York and want to stay there. Hallelujah. I come to California and want to stay here. Hallelujah. I guess I better just stay in El Salvador. Hallelujah. But you see, there are people that need to know Jesus. As I was driving yesterday in California, this is a great district. But I ask you, have we even done half or even a fraction of what God wants to do yet? But we've got to do His will. We've got to do His will. I ask you this afternoon, will it be the boat or will it be the fish? Will it be the tunic of many colors or will it be the bloody tunic before you do the will of God? What will it be? Just talked to my mama on the phone this morning. We found out a few weeks ago my mother has cancer. Baptized mom 14 years ago. She doesn't have the Holy Ghost yet. When I was there, I saw some things with mom and I don't understand. And this morning I had to talk to her a long time on the phone trying to convince her. She thinks that people want to take her car away from her because she can't drive and all this kind of stuff. And my mother's always been independent. But I saw my mother get angry at my sister while I was there. And I got the pastor spirit. And I said, Mama, I said, I don't understand your attitude. I said, how in the world can you have this kind of attitude? Knowing in the condition that you're in and you don't have a lot of time. I said, how can you do it? Folks, I don't understand why we just simply can't do the will of God. Some of your situations that you're in right now, saint of God, and if there's somebody visiting here, you're facing a situation because of your resentful attitude. Because of an attitude that you have that you know that is not right. And God has sent me here today to beg you to please change that. And I finished with what happened yesterday. We walked into, I think it's St. Joseph's Hospital. I don't know, there in Stockton. It was a very nice Catholic hospital. We walked into it. I walked into the room. And as I walked into the room, And folks, really believe me, I have seen a lot of people pass away. I've lived in a war. I've seen a lot of things, earthquake. We lived through Hurricane Mitch and all that kind of stuff. And as I walked in, I saw a man in the bed writhing like I had never seen in all of my life. His eyes were literally almost popped out of his head. I saw him, and the nurses came in, and we began to try and pray. And as we were there, I thank God the man is baptized and has the Holy Ghost before he passed away. But as Brother Shivers began to tell me about the man, it was a result of substance abuse. I saw the tattoos all over his body. I saw a death that I will never forget. And I thought, surely I'll get out of here before something happens. But as I saw him on the bed, and the family was weeping and crying, they were trying to hold him. The nurses were coming in, and I was standing there and trying to comfort the family. And as we were standing there, I saw him writhing on the bed in such pain like I've never seen before. And all I could think about, God, this is the result of the life that he has lived. His stomach was large. His eyes were literally bugging out. I saw him and I prayed and I said, God, comfort him. Take the pain away. And then all of a sudden, some of his other family came in and I saw him turn on his face. I've worked in hospitals before. And then I saw him. I said, turn his head. I said, he's going to smother. And as they turned his head, I knew at that moment that he had passed away as he began to have reactions in his body. And I don't want to make you sick. And as I saw that, but the thing that I saw after that caused me to realize, why can't we accept in our lives and do the right things? Two of his brothers came in, tattoos all over their arms. Both of them could not hardly walk because the way that the drugs had destroyed their body. His mother was there and I could smell the breath, the smoke breath, as she was weeping and crying, and I was trying to comfort her. But as I stood there and I watched, I thought to myself, can they not see the death that he has died? Can they not see? Can't they see? Wouldn't it be much easier to get in the boat? Wouldn't it be easier to wear the beautiful tunic? But they hold on to the ugly things. And when he died, I have never saw such a snarled look on a brother's face in all my life. I have never heard such profanity come out of a man's mouth. And his sister, who is filled with the Holy Ghost, was trying to say, please, please, please. And he began to yell at her and curse, as if cursing God for what had taken place. Why can't we see the things, the writing on the wall, and do God's will? I know that probably today, and if there is somebody here that is abusing substances and alcohol or drugs, I beg you right now to come to Jesus. I beg you to come and put on the beautiful tunic that God wants to give you. I beg you to come and get in the boat and do the will of God and find out what it's like to live for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then I saw his other brother come in and I saw the same reaction. And I know that today the majority of us will not do that. I know the majority of us will not do it. But I have told you that story right now as we stand together right now. Because God is speaking to somebody to do the will of the Lord. I haven't preached long. And I'm finished now. But I would ask you, is there somebody here right now that would say, God, I am willing to do your will. Is there someone that needs Jesus? Is there someone that needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I invite you to come to this altar right now and find him. Is there someone that would step out and say, God, I will do your will. I am willing to do your will. Hallelujah. Is there someone that would step out? God bless this young lady. Is there someone else as we sing right now? Hallelujah. Is there someone that would step out and say, God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. Will it be the boat or will it be the fish? Will it be the tunic without the blood spots, or will it be the tunic with the blood spots? I don't know, maybe it's to go to the mission field and you're fighting it. Maybe it's to go to some town and start a church. Maybe it's to teach Sunday school. I don't know what it is. But I ask you, are you willing to do what God's will is in your life? Pastors, are you willing to do the will of God? Could you take just a few moments and come down and say, God, I'm willing to do your will. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Here I am.
Is there someone that needs to know Jesus? I invite you to come.
Here I am.